Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and Friends. The show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now. Market Views with Ike Iosa and Friends is being brought to you by GM Capital.
Good evening. Mike Iosa, your host for Market News Guest, my good friend, Mr. Glenn Neely. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Hey, Ike. How's it going? In a long time again.
Yeah, both of us have been quite busy, but quite a few things have happened the last 2-3 months.
Yeah, your country has been in the news quite a bit.
Well, yeah, it has, and I think it will remain on the news on and off for the foreseeable future.
Yes, I think so. The big question is, you know, why do you think it's happening? What do you think it's going to do, if anything, to the rest of the world? And, you know, what's really going on behind all the political shenanigans?
Well, Glenn, something that is quite different between the crisis in Greece and the crisis in Portugal, in Ireland, in Spain, is this. The economy here is controlled by the government to a degree of about 65-70%.
Wow.
Okay. Now, what is more problematic is that the majority of the people believe that this is okay and they want to stay like that. It is remarkable. Greeks pay probably the second or the third highest bill in electricity. And They still want the electrical company to remain state-owned. So the problem here is that without the people themselves believing in a free economy, then the necessary reforms that need to be done in order for the economy to grow cannot happen. That is different because in Portugal, in Spain, in Ireland, people did not have this problem. And this is what makes Greece different and unique. And that is the majority of the people here still believe in a state-run economy. And that is why I believe Greece will continue to stay in the headlines for quite some time. And, you know, two things will happen. Either Greece will collapse or, miraculously, the majority of the people will realize that they cannot continue on this path and they cannot expect the state to provide with everything.
Based on world history, all, you know, socialistic communistic systems come to an end, and it's just a matter of when. And there's an old saying that says, socialism is great until the rich run out of money. And so, you know, that's really what eventually has to happen. Eventually, there's just nobody left to support the system, and then the system collapses on its own, and then you have to figure out something else. And so it's just a matter of when that's going to happen. You know, it's apparently not a very large economy for the rest of the world. Well, clearly, you know, as we've been talking about for years now regarding how this all relates to the gold market, you know, every time someone either defaults or stops paying a loan or it's written off, that just continually reduces the amount of currency in circulation around the world or the U.S. or whatever country you're in. And that reduction in the supply of money means every dollar or every, you know, euro is worth more and more money. And that's why things like gold keep going down, because the currencies are slowly becoming more valuable as less currency is in circulation in almost every country in the world. Do you feel that this is happening in your country? Do you see that there's greater purchasing power for your currency, or is it staying the same or going down for you, inside of your country?
It has pretty much stayed the same. Since you mentioned gold, it seems to me that from where gold is at right now, we can easily see another 100-150 bucks, you know, decline before before we see a meaningful, you know, rebound.
Right. Actually, based on what I think is the current wave count, the drop not off the very high, but the drop of about a year and a half later, from about 1800 or 1700, somewhere in there, that first drop, which was a massive, about 600 or 700 points, I think it was,
down
to 1100 or 1150. That first drop, I think, is the first phase of a pretty large ongoing decline. And that means, based on the shape of it and the psychology of this environment, that most likely the next drop is going to be bigger. So I think we could even break 800 in the gold market over the next, you know, year or so. It could be quite substantial. And that would indicate, I think, massive write-offs, massive defaults. And so the currency just keeps getting worth more and more in the U.S. because there's just less and less of it going around as banks, you know, when banks loan money, they're creating it sort of out of thin air based on the deposits they have, and they're leveraging what they have. And as that deleveraging occurs, then less and less certain money is in circulation. So it's just worth more and more money. And that's why gold's declining.
Well, I think something that is worth paying attention to is the fact that if you look at the XAU is near the lows of 2001. Yet in 2001, gold was at 275, $850 below where it's at now. The fact that gold stocks are back to 2001 lows and gold is holding up where it's at, that creates a massive divergence. To me, it means something. But on the other hand, let's get your thoughts on this. Okay. I also think we're pretty close to some important developments in the U.S. equity market. I find it remarkable that, for example, the U.S. market is the only major market this last 3 months that has been able to hold up and not have a 10 or 15% correction. You look at the FTSE, you look at the German market, at the French market, and all our major commercial partners have had a 10 or 15% decline, and yet you look at the market, it's only about 3% below its highs.
I think the U.S. stock market has become the flight to quality economy of the world. So I suspect that as it's left these other countries, it's moved into the U.S., which has kept our market afloat. But I do agree with you that we're probably going to be the last shoe to fall and that it's getting dangerously close. I can't say if it's 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. I think before the year's up, we're going to have a substantial high in place and possibly a pretty major decline. Just timing is still a little difficult to hone in on right now. So
if you look at the market action from February until now, you would have expected already to have that burst to the upside.
Exactly.
And the fact
it's
that
not
it hasn't
happening.
And the fact that it's not happening, it tells me that the market is really running out of time here.
That's right. I totally agree. That's how I even warned my customers about that today. I said, well, you know, we really should have rallied. We're running behind schedule. It's just not performing. It's about the same price we were 7 months ago. You know, it's had plenty of opportunities to rally and it's not. We're running out of time for this pattern. So it's starting to suggest to me it's really, it just doesn't have any more power anymore. But I think the most significant event, which is sort of unusual, is that while we're going nowhere for 7 months, the economic news is improving, the sort of public sense of things getting better is improving, that, you know, unemployment's theoretically declining, at least the way they measure it. So it seems to be things are getting better just, you know, walking around the world or in the U.S. and talking to people and watching the news, but it's happening without the market going anywhere. And that's a little strange, and that's not a good sign normally. It's much better if you rally and you have sentiment going up or people more optimistic, but for it to feel that way when it's going nowhere, I think is dangerous.
Well, Glenn, do you have any other thoughts that you would like to share with me or anything else you would like to touch on?
Well, I maybe discussing the potential correlation of the U.S. stock market declining a lot and how that might affect bonds, because, of course, bonds have been going up for years and years. My wave structure implies we're going to get at least a decent rally that's going to hold up for quite a while and maybe go back to the 2% range or below in a 10-year cash yield. I'm just wondering what you think. If we get a big stock market sell-off, do you think it's going to be typical where bonds are going to rally? Or do you think that they might decline together?
I think initially we will see the same thing we have seen the last few years, where the bond market acts as safety net, okay?
Right, contrary indicator.
Exactly, okay? But I think after that, we will see a prolonged period where both stocks and bonds go down together.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to happen as the stock market declines, or maybe even while it goes nowhere. But I think if the stock market drops a decent amount, we're going to see bonds rally for at least, you know, quite a few months. And it could easily go into the next part, early part of next year. And then maybe after that, you're right, that it could start declining with the stock market and create a whole uncomfortable 1970s kind of environment where everything's going wrong. Well, that's about all I have to say, I think.
Okay.
Just getting closer and closer to D-Day, you might say, but we just aren't there yet.
Well, Glenn, thanks for taking the time again to chat. And
you too in there, too.